What's up and welcome to the Level Health Podcast. Today, Josh is interviewing Ruby Sherry. Ruby is a coach and performance nutritionist. Big thanks to Ruby for coming on our show. Be sure to check out her Instagram at TransformXRuby. We'll have that linked in the description below. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy the episode.
Before COVID, I started out actually as a comp prep coach, and I was a comp prep. Like, I was doing comp prep. I competed in figure. I won a lot of trophies and all that stuff as well. So I became addicted to the process of like winning and comps like that. And then after that, I went straight into powerlifting, and I went from like March was my last figure comp. And then October was my first powerlifting comp. So I never really gave myself a break because I was always chasing something to like show off my ability to do something. And because I was committed to something, I thought that something I also talk about all the time is when you commit yourself to something for the sake of, I don't feel like I can actually keep doing this thing unless I have an end outcome to reach, or I don't feel like I can be accountable, or I'll give up, or I'll become lazy, because it was drilled into me. People do not realize that our parents mean the best for us, but things they've said in our growing up stays with us. And I never stuck to anything. And it took me until like this year to get diagnosed with ADHD, but it makes sense now that I never used to stick to things. And I've chosen to like deal with it on my own, not with actual meds, but that was my reason for, and also as a kid, you want to like try out new things. You can never really stick to something anyway, but it just made that a lot worse for me. But because our parents say, oh, you never stick to anything anyway, it's a waste of money, it's a waste of time, it's this, that. So it gets into your head that you're a quitter, you're always lazy, blah, blah, blah. So that's something that I recognized that stuck with me. And something I used to do in my training was on the Airdyne bike, I would get prescribed to do 160 calories on it. And by 10 minutes in, well, actually by 5 minutes in, I wanted to quit. Then I'd be like, no, I can do this. I'm not a quitter. I'm not a quitter. I don't quit. I know what it feels like to quit. So everything I used to remind myself was you don't quit because you know how much you're going to hate yourself after because you gave up on yourself. So that was something I carried with me for everything. It's like, yeah, I am going to show up, because if I don't show up, I know that I'm going to dwell on this and I'm not going to leave it behind because I don't have a valid reason. It's an excuse. There's a difference between an excuse and a valid reason. So unless I have a valid reason, I'm going to hate myself for not showing up for myself. And as much as I realized that this was my new mindset and I was never going to quit on myself, I still felt like if I slow down, I'm going to get lazy. I'm going to go back to where I was. And obviously, because I came out of a massive eating disorder from my past, that still stuck with me in terms of if I slow down, I'm going to lose all my muscle. I'm going to gain fat. That was at the very beginning. And it took me until powerlifting to really learn to chase that strength. But I still attached to that old identity because I've become the shell. I didn't bring me with it. And it's something that I'm so grateful for going through, and every single mistake, every slip up, all that stuff has led me to be able to resonate with so many girls now, because I've been through comp prep. I've had to manage dieting phases. I've had to compete internationally for powerlifting. I've been through the mindset of all that stuff as well, where after powerlifting, I had two girls that signed up with me with this same mindset where they got so attached to a number on the bar meaning something. And if they weren't lifting a certain weight, it means something about them. And I'm like, no, this is why everything I've given you in the first phase is literally tempo, because there's no way that you can lift that much on the bar with that tempo. And it kind of humbles you. And she's like, holy fuck, I've never been so like stuffed after a session. My legs are sore and it's baby weights. I'm like, we don't talk baby weights here. That's heavy for what you were just doing. But that goes back to the initial point we were talking about before you clicked record, which is just because you're working hard does not mean you're entitled to the results. If anything, your version of working hard could have you going backwards, just like your version of eating clean can actually have you gaining fat. You're not entitled to results just because you're doing the work, because you could be doing the wrong work. You're not entitled to the results just because you're 50 years old and you've been doing this for years, because what you've been doing for the last 50 years has been dumb shit, because you've listened to dumb people. And it's like my saying is just like, stop doing dumb shit and stop listening to bullshit. And something I saw in my memories the other day is, if you want to do good shit, stop listening to bad shit, because no matter how you paint it, it's still shit. So you need to like, yeah, so...
That spoke to me for quite a few reasons. When did you start lifting? What age were you?
I was either 21 or 22.
Okay. So you went through that similar arc, though, based on what you said, where it was completely outcome focused. I was completely the same way. Mine was aesthetically focused and aesthetically driven. And everything that I did in my entire life, socially, through my family, diet, nutritionally, everything was focused on my leisure time. Even I wouldn't go on vacations. I wouldn't go out in the mountains and hiking and stuff, because what was that? How is that going to affect my physique and the physiological adaptations that I thought I was producing? So I absolutely agree with that. And back to kind of focusing on the outcome a little bit, did you find that you were going long periods of time just being completely like dissatisfied and focusing on that end goal rather than the process? And how has your mindset changed on that?
I actually feel like this is where a lot of people are stuck, because no, I didn't. And people, that's the thing. People are numb to it. They're so caught up mm-hmm. in what they're chasing. They are so numb to the fact that they're not actually living a fulfilled life. And it wasn't until you asked me that question that I realized it. So thank you.
But you're welcome.
I was numb to that, because when I think of it, I was chasing it. I was in love with it. I told myself I loved the gym. I was like, no, I love doing all of this stuff. And now looking in retrospect, it's like, how the shit did I do that? Like, how? I was like, I need to train 6 days a week. I'm going to do a sixth day anyway. It's going to be conditioning with my friends. But I loved it. Like, that was fun for me, that conditioning day. But when I think back to when I was actually doing it for comp prep sake, I don't even remember not realizing how unsatisfied I was, because I was so focused on just getting the outcome. And hey, I was seeing results. And this brings to another mistake that women make, which is because you're doing something. I also fell into this for like 2 weeks post-COVID. So it's easy to fall back into. I'll tell you my cable analogy soon. But because something has worked for you, you're scared of letting it go, because now you're scared of going back to how you were. And I see this happen with a lot of people who started off really overweight. No, I don't want to gain all that fat back. I don't want to go back to that horrid place I was in. So they're afraid to let go of the diet, when what you do to lose weight is not what you do to keep the weight. And that's why when people say diets are meant to be sustainable, it's like, no, it's not. It's who you become in the process that's meant to be sustainable. So you can't skip the process. The process is the goal in the end. Mm-hmm. You can't PR a result that you have no control over. That's like trying to PR 100 kilos of a squat when you haven't even started squatting yet. Like, you need to actually be the person in the process, because now, okay, cool, you can PR that 100 kilo squat. You're not going to be doing that forever, because now you need to go back to doing the other shit, because if you keep trying to max out on that squat 100 kilos, you're going to miss out on everything else, and you're never going to enjoy the process, because that's going to tax you the hell out. And there's going to come a point where you're too taxed out to even get that 100 kilo squat. And then as soon as you can't hit it anymore, you're going to start getting down on yourself. You're going to start berating yourself, and then you're going to fall off completely. And that's exactly what women do. But to the point of the analogy with it is, because I was so developed in that, it's like, I don't want to let go of this. And I remember there was a point where I was forced to, because the powerlifting gym I first signed up with didn't have treadmills. They only had bikes. So I wasn't able to do my usual way of on the treadmill after my training session. So I'm like, cool. I don't get in the same cardio. But did I lose out from that? No, I actually didn't. And you don't realize until the after fact that your best results come through actually changing what you were doing that wasn't actually working. Because no matter how much you push a faulty system, it's a faulty system. Like, it's not going to work any better because the system, like the coding for it is wrong. You have to change the whole coding. I have a saying that I actually love that I heard a couple of people quote it, but it's, you need to change, you can't just change the software. You need to change the actual hardware, because no matter what you do to your, like, you can update your iPhone a million times, but if your default settings are trash, you're going to go back to the same trash default settings. And in COVID, because I wasn't able to lift with a lot of weight, I was doing a lot of fluffy shit for like 6 days a week. Sometimes I'd just like play around on a seventh, not actually lifting stuff. But because I was so like developed and enveloped into that 6 day a week thing, once I went back to the gym, I'm like, no, I'm going to do 5 days. I hated being at the gym that fifth day. I hated it. I resented it. I wasn't lifting a lot. And it took me 2 weeks to say to myself, because I told one of my friends the same thing. I'm like, why are you doing that? And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm doing it too. Sorry. It's Aussie swears. My bad.
Oh no, like, I'm all for it. Again, back to like, it sounded like, I mean, by no means am I saying that COVID was a positive thing. I don't feel like I need to clarify that, but it seems like it could have been a net positive for a lot of people, because it's almost sometimes takes that ripping off of your comfort zone, your normal routines. Like you said, you didn't have the equipment that you normally used, and it screwed up your routine. And then on the backside of that, I've been in similar situations like that. For instance, when COVID got started, I was lifting with a dumbbell and a kettlebell for about, and obviously body weight, but for about 6 months. And guess what? My physique nearly didn't change at all, because I was learning new things. I was getting better at the movements that I could do. And so, you know, looking back at that, it's like, oh, fuck, like, why did I think that there was not another way to do this? Like, there absolutely is another way to do this. And you kept talking about like what the process, like what are you becoming during that process? That's actually a really good quote. I think it's from Jim Rohn. It's not about what you're achieving. It's about who you're becoming during that process. And so it's just another example of how the gym is just a perfect allegory. It's a perfect proving ground and molding for life, because, you know, things aren't going to go your way every time. You're not going to make progress every day you step into the gym, but that's exactly how life is. And there's going to be big, long periods of time when you feel like you're not making any progress, but trusting that you have the tools and you have the understanding to move forward, I think is just a really, really valuable piece. I mean, if we want to talk about like behavior change to terms, it's the self-efficacy component, right? Because you're learning that you can get the job done no matter what. So are there any other mistakes that you see women make in the gym? We've touched on a lot of them already, and I'm sure we're going to come back to them, but any that pop into your head?
So when you were talking about the COVID thing, actually, just because it was so powerful there, I actually feel like it was the most positive thing for everybody the first time around. It taught people that you can do so much without a gym, and it taught people to slow down. But then the next bout and the longer it went on, I feel like that's when it actually started to become a net negative. And so many people, because we're so used to like forging through and we just want to keep, people that never address their trauma, especially, they just kept like jumping into other things to relieve whatever it was, but they never actually accepted the fact, hey, COVID changed so much for you, so much of your life, structurally, fundamentally, everything changed. And speaking about changing the structure, it's like you can do renovations on the house or you can move the furniture around. So many people are trying to move all the furniture around, trying to make do for this huge tsunami that's coming or whatever mess is in the house, but they didn't actually renovate their house. So they're left with this huge mess that they haven't dealt with, and there's not enough room for it because people tried to make themselves productive in a place where they couldn't really be productive. So now they're trying to do all that shit they already were doing. And add on to going back to real life, you have a catastrophe if we're not slowing down, and then you wonder why people go to quick fixes because they feel like, oh my God, my life is so busy. I just want to get this over and done with, and then I can go back to the busy. It's like, well, no, because if you go back to the busy, you're going to get everything else that you had and relive the bad practices and habits and thoughts that you had. But also, I ran a half marathon right before COVID hit. So I forgot that part out because I had a goal of running a 5 kilometer, whatever that is over there, a 5 kilometer in 20 minutes. And then I wanted to run a half marathon in an hour 30. I got it in an hour 34, but I got close to the time that I wanted, but it was the day of my half marathon that we all went into lockdown again. So not only did I lose a lot of my muscle mass through doing that process, now we're in COVID, and I actually had a hamstring tear from my enormous amounts of running. So I couldn't train the same movements. I couldn't even rehab my hamstring until we went back in December. So I lost so much muscle mass in that process. And this is the mistake. You do not know what you had until it's gone. And now that I look back on my old photos, I'm like, shit, man, I had so much muscle I lost. But people aren't training for muscle. They're training for exhaustion. They're training to burn calories. They don't realize how good muscle looks in their frame until they have it. They look freaking amazing, and then they lose it. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, man. And that's aging. Like, that's the other stupid thing. When you age, you have less ability to burn fat. You have less ability to build muscle. Like, it's possible, but there's less of those hormones that support that process. And it's more the fact that you need to be a lot more intentional. And something I told my parents as well that I said to them the other day is, it's funny because when you're young, it's like, oh, I can eat whatever the hell I want when I'm older. I just need to be really strict on my diet now so I can look good because I'm young. It's like, actually, no, when you're older, you have less flexibility because everything you eat actually contributes to your health status more than anything. You get away with so much more when you're younger. So we had it all wrong. And I realized that like the other month when I was talking to my dad about it, it's like, hey, I actually have more flexibility now. It's not when I'm older. And that's the thing with muscle building and everything you take. Like I see girls in the gym because there's this supplement store near my gym. And the guy that runs it has no education, but he is one of the biggest comp prep coaches, one of the biggest transformation coaches in that area. And it's just like, shit, man. He gives people like the same diets that are all like, low calories, like males and females alike. Mm-hmm. I saw two people's diets, one big African guy. And you know, when I say African, it's because they have really fast metabolisms because they're tall, they're active, and they naturally have a tendency to like move and stuff like that. That's why I say that. And then a short, white, stocky guy who literally doesn't move anywhere. He's just like that guy that just like, they're on the same diet. Like, anyway, and there's this girl that is always either dieting and getting really small, or she's got so much body fat on her. I'm like, you're either on a strict diet plan that's pretty much keto, or you're eating your heart out because you were so restricted before. And when I talk to her about it, she's just like, yeah, he had me on this diet and this diet, and I'm telling her how wrong it is. And because she's actually friends with the wife of this guy, she doesn't even look at me anymore. She like avoids me. It's hilarious. But I told her everything that was wrong with it. Anyway, and now she's walking around. She has a son and she has so much body fat on her. It's just like, do you understand the health implications of what you're doing, yo-yoing about? Like, you don't understand that you cannot get rid of those fat cells once you put them on again. And every time I see her getting fatter again, I say fat because fat isn't weight. I'm talking about fat specifically. I don't know what her weight is. But every time she adds on more fat, it's worse than the last time she did it. And like, that's going to haunt you when you're older. Like, you're not using this time, and people doing stupid batshit stuff in the gym as well. It's like, you're not using this time to actually build muscle, to actually do things the right way. So you don't have to try so much so hard when you're older. And that's the mistake I made. And this is probably the fourth one I'm going to mention now. And that's, I spent so much of my life chronically dieting, chronically trying to stay so lean. And I was talking about this on my stories the other day, that because I have so many girls now sign up with me that are wanting to build their body because it's what I'm actually talking about the most, because people are just so scared of it. But because I was so attached to that leanness, I never allowed myself to do a proper build. And when I did do a build with my coach in 2019, I was too scared to, and I was stressed out about it. I was still wanting to do the 5 days a week training, 6 day of conditioning. I loved it then, and that was with friends. But it's just like, I was still hesitant to it. I was still stressed out about it. I was still not wanting to truly push myself to build when I was actually training a lot harder then. And obviously I had 6 days to train. I focused more on my body then than I did on my business, whereas now it's just like, no, my business comes first and then my body, because COVID kind of forced us into that as well. It's just like, the whole online world changed. So we had to become more online focused. So it's actually taken up a lot more of my time because it really has since COVID. That's what I realized. Like, I have to be a lot more business focused because of what's happened. But back then, it's like, now I'm actually putting myself into a build I'm eating like, this is unspoken of for me. I took 3 months with my coach to finally eat what he told me to, because he had to taper it down. He wanted me on 2,600 calories and 300 grams of carbs. When I started, I was on 1,600 and 160 carbs. And I'm just like, I'll do 200. He's like, 300. I'm like, can we start with 200? Like, seriously, I'm going to freak the fuck out. And he's like, okay, we'll do that. But then you're going to 250 the next week. And I'm like, okay. I did like 240. And I'm like, okay, now let's do 245. Let's do 250. And I hit 250 by the time my check-ins came. So like, I got 250. So good, 300. I'm like, I need a few more weeks. It took me forever to finally get up to that stage. And then my coach now, because now my hamstring finally healed as of 3 weeks ago. So it's
very nice.
It's taken over a year to rehab it. But as soon as I finished rehabbing my hamstring, I signed up with my coach. And he's like, okay, we're going to do 3,500 calories on the weekends and 600 grams of carbs on the weekends. And I didn't, like, all I thought was cereal, Nutella on toast. It's like, I realized that I didn't even have that freak out about it. So now I'm doing like 2 high days, 5 low days. And it's like, I'm so excited to build. And like, yeah, cool. I don't even give a shit about the scale going up now. Whereas before I was so attached. Fifth mistake, women get so attached to a weight range. Like, I don't want to see myself go over this number. Whereas now, in a way, I've seen that I've been heavier before. Like, let me try to work out this. I've been like 6 to 8 pounds heavier before, and that was before COVID when I had the muscle mass. But now it's like, now I'm not stressing into this process. And people don't realize how much stress impacts your ability to actually get the physique changes that you want, because it masks anything. And not only that, but you won't be technically burning fat or building muscle the same way, because your body's going to be more stressed. And when your body's more stressed, it's going to allocate resources to dealing with that stress. And it's not going, like, it's, people don't realize that it's not a matter of hormones versus calories. It's the fact that your hormones impact your calories. Like, it's not one or the other. It's like, okay, cool, you have hormonal changes. That's changing things without you realizing. You can be doing everything the same, calculating everything like a bloody accountant, but the calories are still different because the internal processes aren't doing the right thing, even though sometimes it's minuscule. But if you're not digesting properly, if you're not pooping properly, if you're not doing things, like, your gut is where everything happens. That's when nutrients are absorbed. If you're not getting nutrients that are absorbed, things are not going to play out the way they need to play out. And I was healing a lot of my gut issues to start with. That took me ages, because chronic dieting, chronic exercise, when I was doing powerlifting, I was training 7 days a week. Like, I was like, no, I need to go on a seventh day and do HIIT. Like, that was the worst. And that was when I was like 1,400 calories. That was ages ago. But it's, you learn through the process. But it, sixth mistake, not asking for help and not getting a coach. Like, I had a coach then, but it's just like, we've been through a lot of the mistakes. Stop putting yourself through going the hard way. Like, I had a girl reach out to me the other day, and I actually realized now that she stopped even clicking and double clicking like on my messages. I used to randomly send her and be like, read this. But she didn't sign up with me because she didn't want to part from her huffy puffy workouts and her under eating. And then she messaged me the other day saying, I injured myself 6 months ago doing the huffy puffy stuff. You are so right. I'm really sorry for not listening to you. I'm like, why do people have to learn the hard way? That's why we've done the dumb shit, so we can save people from doing it. But people are afraid to ask for help, either because they're afraid of looking like a failure to their partners. And it's like, you've seen me do all these diets before. I don't want to fail again in front of you. And it's just like, you can commit yourself physically to something, but if that's still mentally in your head, you're going to keep sabotaging yourself because you're focusing on not being something, and that's still where your energy is going, which is why you need to have a forward focus, because no matter where you focus your energy, I have this other one where it's just like, you're doing white rafting. It's like, do you focus on not going towards the trees? Or do you focus on which way you need to stream your boat? Because if you focus on not going towards the trees, you're going like this, your boat's going to end up going towards the trees and you're going to smash. Where you go is where your focus flows, especially when it's like white water rafting. Like, it's turbulent. That's usually where we catch ourselves. when you're in a turbulent moment, that's when you need to pause and realize, what is it that I want to feel? How is this going to make me feel? How's my next step, like, action going to make me feel? So that would be the other one.
That was awesome. Yeah. So a couple of those things point at, just on that last note, you're talking about like approach versus avoidance goals, and it just keeps coming up over and over again because it completely changes everything. And that's exactly the crux, the foundation of what you're doing with talking about building. We're not talking about getting you to have less body fat. We're talking about putting muscle on you. And you mentioned about the not worrying about the scale going up. Like, I was completely in that exact same boat. At the same time, I was trying to put on muscle. So I was like in this, I was for years trying to recomp, even though I didn't really know what that was at the time. So I was trying to add muscle without getting in a surplus. And so I'm just treading water for the better part of a decade. But yeah, it's just changing that entire narrative to where you're building. And it opens so many doors. Like you said, you were thinking, oh, I get to have cereal or, you know, what, you know, Nutella and stuff like that. It's like, it's absolutely a complete game changer.
Actually, on that note, it's because I've proven to myself, like, if you actually realistically think about it from a not stressed out standpoint, it's like, this is 3,500 calories. This is 2,500 calories on the weekdays. This is a shitload of food. If I'm able to actually build my body on this, I can easily lose weight just cutting out those 3,500 calorie days and just eating friggin', that's a 2,000 calorie cut already. Like, that's cutting out 2,000 calories and I can lose weight on that. It's like, you're showing yourself proof that you can do it. But so many people need to realize that you don't have proof when you're starting out. There is no proof. You've just been doing dumb shit your whole life. So stop looking for proof. Start providing the proof by starting small where your feet are. And seventh mistake, because I had two girls ask me this, and it's just like, you're asking me this and you're like 1 month into coaching, seriously? I just want to know how the process is going to look. How is this going to look? How fast am I going to recut my body? And they're like, it's like when you're trying to like forecast the whole future, that's when you're already in the wrong place. It's not how long is this going to take. It's where do I need to focus on to expand what I'm doing now so that I can enjoy the process, so that the time length doesn't matter, because you can't forecast that shit. And when you're in the body recut process and you're soft or skinny fat, that, like, any time that you think it's going to take, you can add like triple it to it, because it is going to take that long. Mm-hmm. So it's starting where your feet are and focusing on what can make you enjoy the process more, realizing that the before and afters you see on social media. I used to get people changing their body composition like dramatically in 1 week because it was peak week. Like, you can change someone's body composition so crazily just by doing drastic shit. You can change, like, the 4 weeks leading up to a comp prep, for example. Do you know how much a body changes in those 4 weeks? But what you do for comp prep is to look good for one day. It's not meant to be sustainable. And it leads to so many body image issues afterwards. And that was my biggest mistake, which is why I went through that shit for so long, because I actually started off with the right mindset. I was chasing putting on weight because I was 37 kilos to start with, or the like 80 pounds over there. Like, I was underweight. I was malnourished. I had disordered eating. I was trying to get out of that shit, but then I wanted to build. I was in the right place until I got caught up in the bodybuilding world, which led to the wanting to stay lean and chasing the scale going down, because now my identity, the other mistake people make is they identify themselves with, okay, the scale's going down. So because you're so used to watching the scale go down, which is why I hate using the scale, I'm like, you need to earn your right to use a scale. No one has the right to use a scale until you know what it's like to feel good, until you know what it's like to build your body and to fall in love with the process. Once you have that under your belt for like 2 years, now you can use the scale, because it's so much easier to have it as objective data. Mm-hmm. Because no matter which way you want to spin it, you're going to be emotionally attached to it in some way, because that's how we've been taught for the past few years. So stop telling people to make friends with it. They don't deserve it straight away. They can make friends with it later on. It's almost like you need to deserve your intuitive eating, because you intuitively ate your weight where you are now and you don't even know what a protein serving looks like. Like, bloody hell. Anyway, it's like, earn your right to use different tools. And just because someone says intuitive eating works for them, have you asked them how many years they've been on this health journey for? Like, stop trying to do what other people are doing because it's working for them, because you don't know anything about them. Me, when I was training for my half marathon, what do you do for feel legs. They look amazing. Yeah, well, I do like 3 exercises a week for them. Do you want to take my program? Because you're going to have amazing legs like me. Not. It's like, just because what someone's doing now has got, like, they look a good way and they're doing something doesn't mean that that's what got them there. Just like that high whatever that.
Oh, no. Thigh green. When he went vegan. And wrote a vegan ebook and told him.
Get him there. What did he do the past 500 billion years? Like, people don't have logic when there is so much emotion in the process. So, long story short, the letting emotion win over logic.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's kind of, again, the one of the biggest pitfalls. But I wanted to, two things on that. I'm going to say rant because it wasn't a rant, but it was awesome. And you can tell that you're speaking from your background, of course. Like, there's a lot of, I'm going to say emotion behind it, but a lot of motivation and you have that experience. But the taking advantage, I don't know if you phrased it like this, but this is how I like to think of it. Like, I'm grateful that I learned at a young enough age to take advantage of the physiological benefit of being younger for building muscle for and lean body mass, of course, but just focus on muscle. I don't talk about bones. Nobody wants to talk about bones. But for later on, because it's only going to become more and more difficult. And the health benefits, oh my God, of having a decent amount of lean body mass until a later age is just so, so important. So that's something that I try to relate to people my age. I've worked with older seniors now, but that take advantage of these younger years. Don't, like, be kind to yourself, learn how to exercise, learn what works for you and stuff like that. But, like, it's only going to become more difficult to do the thing. So learn it now. I mean, you talked about, like, how you could, oh, I'll eat whatever I want when I'm older. But if you don't learn the behaviors when you're younger, like when you're younger, like you're not going to, I don't know that you're going to be able to necessarily learn them and become proficient at them when you're older like that. And then the last thing, something that you touched on, which I feel like is one of the biggest issues. In fact, it has to be one of the biggest issues in my mind, is the training and exercising to burn calories. What is the problem with that? And why is that just not a really good approach at all?
So I love the part about what you're doing now is potential. Like right now you are building your future potential. It's like, I just thought of this one. I love it. Oh my God. Okay. So you're working your ass off and you need to put money towards super so that you have a super fund for when you're older. We're so good to think about finances and saving up money for when we're older to be able to live a fluent life. But you can't use that shit if you're crippled and you're unable to actually be independent. And whenever I'm walking around, because I honestly don't really put myself in environments where I'm around a lot of normal people, quote unquote. But when I am in those environments, I just see these old people like hunched over and I always look at their legs. They look so frail that if you just knock them, their legs are going to buckle. It's like that supporting structure of your glutes down is where a lot of people end up being crippled in a hospital in a friggin' walking frame thing because we lose our fast-twitch muscle fibers. But speaking primarily to women, because I'm mainly a women's coach, menopause. I have so many clients around perimenopause. And the difference between those that have just started to the couple of girls that have been in this for ages, like two of my menopause ladies I've had for 5 years. They've been with me for 5 years. And the ability for them to just grind through and, yes, they feel emotional as shit because it's an emotional time, but it's almost like it's not even happening. Like you see them complain about it, like in their check-ins, but physically on surface, nothing's happening to them. They're fine. They're going through, they're smashing their workouts. And that's where the resilience from the gym leads in as well. Something that I feel like we need to mention about gym leaking into other areas is it actually brings structure. And something I find myself working on with new clients is waking up earlier and actually making the most out of their day. I was so blind until two girls brought this up with me only recently. Like, it's actually abnormal to wake up at 6 a.m. or before. Like, people usually wake up at freaking 11. And I'm like, what the hell? What do you do with your morning? I don't know. I feel like I'm wasting time if I wake up early because there's nothing to do. I'm like, are you serious? Why don't you go to the gym in the morning? Why don't you work on yourself in the morning? The sun's out. Make something of it. And she's like, yeah. And it's like, you just become a totally different person. Like, your whole just... the way you start your day is so impactful, but the way you, like, it actually impacts the way you go to sleep. And just from changing the mornings, your sleep quality dramatically increases, and all of a sudden you're like a new human being. There is so much that the gym brings you. And the second thing, what did you mention for the second one?
Oh gosh, I was listening to and getting ready for the next one. The training to burn calories. Why is that just not a really effective approach?
So it's funny because you can, like, to burn whatever many calories, it's like you can eat something like a donut that's 300 calories in a split minute. That minute would burn like 10 calories doing your most extraneous activity in the gym. And there's a point of diminishing returns to where the fact that you're just smashing yourself in the gym. I remember a point in my pump prep where I was just trying to do everything I can on the treadmill, on the bike, just trying to like get my activity up. But it was mainly for the fact that my appetite was through the roof because I was on such low calories. It's like, if I do this, I'll distract myself from eating. And then I used to take myself for walks for most of the day because I had all the free time in the world, but it was just to get away from the house, so I wasn't eating. But when I wasn't doing some form of activity, do you want to know what I was doing? In bed, like just lying down like a pig because I was so exhausted. And when I came back from the gym, I like lie in bed for like an hour because I just exhausted myself. It's like you're burning a shitload of calories, yes, but then what are you doing the rest of the day when you're really active? And one of my girls came to me with a win today, which was really awesome because it reminded me of something I used to do. Because she had to stay traveling in a car for most of the day, she almost didn't eat breakfast and not really take food with her. She's like, I'm going to be sitting down all day. I'm not going to really be burning much. It's like, well, actually, not doing anything, you're still burning a lot of calories. So instead, she ate everything as normal, and it just made her want to actually get her steps in. And people don't realize that mindset shift of, I'm a person who's active, I'm a person who fuels my lifestyle, and I'm a person who doesn't treat movement for food. And also on that note is that the most calories you burn in a session is like 200 calories on average. Some can burn 300, some only burn 50. Because like what you do in a session compared to what your watch says, like I actually tested it once. I always track my workouts, but I decided to look at the calorie burn for once. So I'm watching the calories go and I'm just sitting down and the calories are going up. I'm like, I'm not doing anything. How is it still going up at the same rate that I was just doing my leg press? What the hell? So it's like, it's just tracking the time that you're doing something and half the time you're resting, unless you're doing dumb shit in the gym, which was covered in the first point. When you're doing dumb shit in the gym, you're not really building muscle, and it's muscle that's your metabolic furnace. So there are four components that you can alter. Yes, you can alter your BMR. You alter that BMR by building muscle because it's three times more metabolically active than fat. I hate it when people say, oh, but it's not really that many calories. Yeah, well, it's three times more calorie burns than fat. Like, that's a difference. Three times more.
What was that accent for a second? Was that your American accent? What was that?
I don't even, I have American clients, so I don't even know. I'm just gotcha. Like, I don't like a mix of
I was accents. I was like, should I be offended? I'm not sure what's going on there.
I don't even know. It actually sounds American.
It was pretty solid. It was a pretty solid accent.
That is so funny. Yes. I'm taking on my American clients' voices, but three times more metabolically active than fat. And what do you think looks better? Like, people want to get rid of that like jiggly cellulite thing. It's like, yeah, you can't spot reduced fat, but you can spot enhanced muscle. Build more muscle in your hamstrings. That's going to push through the skin. And then over time, cellulite is actually the collagen matrix, the fascia, blah, blah, blah. That shit is like tendons. That shit is like bones. It takes years to reform. So you need to be doing shit for years to actually see changes in that. So don't get down on the fact that you're doing everything you can now, but building muscle for the fact that it's not going. Keep building the muscle. Keep going through the processes. And over time, you will see the muscle protrude through the skin when you don't have a lot of fat mass there. It's almost like when I used to go through my training phases, cutting phases, building phases before, it was hard to see my abs poke through. Now you can see them and they're actually so much bigger because I'm building. But usually when I would build, it just looked like a floppy mess and I hated it. But it's like, because I've been doing this for so long, I don't even train abs, but you see them poke through just really thick versus really defined because I'm not in a fat loss phase. It's like your body changes so much over time. People just need to be patient at that to 0.8 of people mistakes in bloody patience. Like you want results yesterday, but yeah. So build muscle, that's the BMR. You have that taken care of. The other thing is when you're dieting, you are going to reduce your BMR simply by the fact that you're a smaller human being. But the thing is, it actually comes back up once you start moving more, as in your metabolic, like there were the studies showing that it actually reduces by like 300 calories sometimes or 200 calories on the way down. But then as soon as you return to normal dieting, it comes up. But the longer that you've been dieting and the more extreme that you've been dieting, it just takes longer because you are a small human being, but it is going to come up. It won't, when people say they lost their metabolism, it's because you're a smaller person. But what actually, like, for example, you have someone who's a non-dieter who's 60 kilos, who's, I'm just going to say pounds, who's 150 pounds. And then they lose weight to like, let's just say 100 pounds. And then you have someone else who's already 100 pounds. Yeah, okay, the losing weight from 150 to 100 is going to have you at like an 80-pound metabolism. But once you start going back to normal life, you are going to have a 100-pound metabolism. Yeah, you don't have a 150-pound metabolism, but no freaking shit, you're not 150 pounds. Like, that's obvious. And then on top of that is the food component, the thermic effect of food, which is the second biggest component because, hey, you're eating food. You eat less, you burn less, but you can make the most of that by eating more protein and eating more whole foods and eating more fiber. Protein is the most thermogenic one there is. Fat doesn't do anything. It's just inert. Think of fat as some inert gas and the other one as some fiery burning Bunsen burner. But that's the difference. Eat more protein, burn more calories through your food. Eat more whole foods, your body has to process that. That takes energy. That burns more calories. So being all IIFYM is, that can be a 10th mistake because people take it too far and they go too flexible. They don't eat enough protein and then they wonder why they don't really look like they lift. And then the next one is, actually no, meat would be the biggest one, but for a lot of people it isn't because based on their arse all day. So if you get yourself walking, just by doing house chores, you can burn up to 200, 300 calories more. Add in more steps, add in more walking, you can burn up to another 500, even 1,000. Like, there are people that are labor workers that are burning 2,000 calories more than someone who works in an office. So that's actually proven in a study too. So if you want to actually improve your metabolic rate and your ability of building a better body composition, walk more. And not just for the sake of burning calories. Like, if you're able to eat a lot more food to maintain your body, a lot more food to lose weight, and even eating a lot more food to build your body, do you know where that food goes? Into your performance, into your energy outside of the gym. That's going to improve your insulin sensitivity. It's going to improve everything about your body because you're getting in more nutrients. Like, that's the best thing about it. And then exercise is just like 5%. You work out like 1 hour, 2 hours max, which you shouldn't be doing. Like 90 minutes should be the max that you really do in the gym anyway. But see, an hour to an hour and a half in the gym, 4 or 5 days a week, that's like a fraction of your whole week. And you think that that's going to be the reason that you're going to lose weight when that should be the reason to build muscle so that you're a better human being.
Yeah, I think unfortunately, I was kind of victim to this as well. I thought fitness happened in the gym. It had to be in a gym. And that the things that you're doing in your daily life, your activities, they're not really related, you know. And I like to think of it kind of, it's an imperfect metaphor, but the idea of burning calories automatically or burning them manually. If you're getting on a treadmill, if you're getting on an elliptical and you're putting away for hours, that's burning them manually. Burning them automatically, add a little lean body mass, move a little bit more, walk a little bit more, just do more things. It's going to take a longer time, but the actual result is potentially the one that you're seeking. And the, you know, doing hours of cardio and chronic dieting is actually going to take you in the opposite direction. But it's kind of, it's counterintuitive, I think, for a lot of people. So we've hit on just a shit ton of tips. It's been awesome. But to get kind of just like a nice little clip, what are your top three tips for women that are just trying to do some sort of transformation?
Be patient and find love in the process, because if you don't do that, you're always going to be chasing some end outcome. You're always going to be chasing something that's never going to actually be there, because you're a chaser. You're not a beer, as in, like, you're not being the person that's going to enjoy the results. And it's better to learn that now than to go through some hardship or injure yourself or do something drastic to be like, I need to slow down. Because if you don't slow yourself down, life is going to force you to. And like, there is so much joy that comes with building your body. Like, I realized the other day, this can be point two, but I realized the other day, every time I do my check-ins with my coach, my energy levels are always at 10. And I remember the days where I would like hate how drained I was. My energy crashes. And like, there's so many people living their life like this. What the hell? Like, what the hell? And this is where that process focused and forward focused versus avoidance focused comes into number two. Because if you focus on how good this makes you feel, how energized you feel, how good your gut feels, how you're not bloating anymore, how you're not having to pay for constipation relievers or pay for this, pay for that, getting sick here and there and copying the cold longer than other people, building resilience to life.
Or stopping over at that supplement store and getting that meal plan. Jeez, I forgot to talk about that for just a second, man. It was in some ways not surprising, not disappointing either, but it was interesting to hear that the same stuff happens over there, because you go to any supplement store around here, anywhere in the United States, and there's going to be that guy that knows enough to sound like he knows what he's talking about, and with almost no qualifications whatsoever, giving out meal plans, cookie cutter approaches, and just absolutely churning through people.
You want to know what the worst part of that was? They weren't competing for a show, but he had them do this 6-week challenge. And at the end of it, you have to do a water cut. But on the water cut, guess what they had to do? They had to train even harder and they had to do extra cardio without freaking water. Like, what the hell?
Hopefully somebody doesn't have to get hurt for that to get done. But I mean, that's just an example of we produce our, you know, for instance, with that person, it's like, okay, now they're going to show them, oh, you lost 5 pounds this week because of my plan. But it's not, you just dehydrated the shit out of yourself and you're knocking on the door of some issues, some health issues. So like, God, yeah. And I mean, that seems like right along the lines of what happens in the similar places here.
I don't know when this is going to come out, but I worked on a reel that's going to come out next Friday. So
it'll be after that. So we'll make sure to point people towards it.
It'll be next today, nighttime, because whatever you're in there. So it's like your tomorrow morning, but it's, you want to lose weight fast. Well, I can tell you about a client who lost 3 kilos in 2 days, or the fact that I lost 5 kilos overnight. She had to do a colonoscopy. No shit. And I had to do a dramatic weight cut for a powerlifting comp because it was international and it really meant like I had to make that weight. Like, I can sell you on that and give you some magic potion, or we can do it the short way, which is actually the right approach, because you're not going to keep spinning your wheels going back to the beginning. And that's just what, like, you said that and it's so true. Like, I had to lose 5 kilos overnight. I could sell people on that, show them the difference on the scale and be like, hey, look what I just did in a week. Mm-hmm. You want to lose 5 kilos in a week? Like, it's ridiculous. But then talking about fast weight loss, I had a client who literally the right way, because she did it the right way. She lost 6 kilos, that's like 12 pounds, in less than 14 days. Why? Because she had so much weight to start with. And you can guess a lot of that was water weight. So probably 5 kilos of that was water weight and only 1 real kilo was fat, like fat weight. Because you can, like, at that overweightness, like 200 and something pounds, you can lose 1 kilo of fat in a week. That's like the max out that you can do, like 1% of body weight. It's people want the fast approach without realizing that you cannot force biology. You cannot force muscle growth. That's the other thing as well. Like people on the other spectrum, you can't just train 7 days a week thinking that you're going to force your muscles to grow faster. You can't just eat all the freaking food thinking that you can eat yourself to faster muscle growth. When you're training for muscle growth, the results come from the training. When you're eating for training, when you're chasing fat loss, the results come from the food. It's like you need to know where to put 100%. Like, of course, it's 100% either way, but the results mainly come from the effort you put in the gym when you're building muscle. And then the food supplements that. And it's the same with fat loss. It's like the results come from putting yourself into a calorie deficit. The training supplements that. Because if you don't do the training, you're going to end up looking like a I said this in the reel as well. You're going to look like a fettuccine strand where you feel fat but flat. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I would like to live in a little bit more of an objective industry, you know, where it's like we can look at the what we're our approach and is it congruent with the results that we want. But I mean, it's we're an ego based, and to be fair, we're a very young industry, right? Like we're still learning what the fuck we're doing, and like we're still learning about like where as a fitness professional, as a coach, like what our role can be and what we can help people go through. I try not to get actually, it's kind of funny because my next question is how the fitness industry can improve overall. But I feel like sometimes that question comes off like a little bit like condemning, like a little bit negative. But in reality, we're just trying to figure out how we can do better and improve. So on that note, Ruby, how do you feel the industry can improve overall?
See, I feel like the industry is fine. I feel like the onus is actually on the consumer in not wanting the fast approach, because you'll always get what you look for, no matter what. So you can have the fitness industry improve tenfold, but they're still going to find shit. Like the shit that you see in the shit that you see people go through isn't really from the fitness industry. Like you have bloody MDs that aren't RDs, and that's not the fitness industry. Yeah. But people are taking diet advice from freaking doctors. Like I was talking to someone when I was waiting for, when I was at the doctor's like 2 years ago. But it's like when I was over there, but hey, there's another thing. I haven't been to the doctors for like over 2 years, and people are in there like every friggin' couple of months because they have something wrong with them. Like that is what health does for you. Anyway, my doctor put me on the vegan diet because he said that meat was blah. And I just like there, it's not the fitness industry. It's the onus is on the person that wants the fast approach, that doesn't do their own research, that wants everything yesterday instead of actually investing in themselves and investing in the right approach. Because I can type something into Google and get whatever I want to see. So I feel like there needs to be a push. If anything, if it was to do with the fitness industry, it would be a move away from just posting before and afters without actually having a real story behind it. Because I feel like that is so toxic. Like I love being able to show people what's possible if they do the process itself, which is why I put most of mine in my stories. Because people who watch your stories follow you for a reason. They don't follow to see just your highlight reel on your page. Whereas there are a lot of people that just have a page full of that. And then before you know it, they don't really know the story behind it. Whereas people who see it in my stories know what I'm all about. So I post most of them there and only a few on my feed. But a lot of people you see on social media are like 20-something-year-olds, people that have no life, people that are getting paid for things, and people competing. Like that is what you see mostly on social media. Like you don't really see how long it takes. And you'll see an amazing 6-week thing, but like we spoke about before, that's all you're seeing. You're not seeing the 6-year or the 6-month or whatever the hell else. But that is the only thing from the fitness industry, although I don't feel like that will ever change because people want physical results, so it sells. But it's the story that needs to start selling, but that is not on the fitness industry. That's on the consumer. And just like, why can't we treat it like we're going shopping for an expensive dress or an expensive car? Let's just say car or a house, because it's an investment. And our body is more valuable than a freaking dress anyway. But it's like when you're going shopping for that car, when you're going shopping for the house, you want to make sure you're getting something that's actually worth your investment. So why not do that with your body? why are you treating your body like some freaking temporary tattoo? Like, it's not. That's the thing. It's a tattoo. It's permanent. You can't just slap a tattoo on and think it's going to change your life. Like, it's a permanent change.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I completely agree that the industry, we're good. We're making progress. Like, I mean, the fact that we're having conversations about this stuff at all, I think is indicative of us making progress. So, I mean, I think that each individual fitness professional just doing our best and thinking and having these conversations and doing really just considering the fact that we're working with actual people and all of the shit that comes with that, all of the stuff that comes with that. So anyways,
that I think actually fitness professionals need to realize they're not just dealing with the human, they're dealing with the human's past. Mm. And that isn't something that another diet or another program is going to fix. You need to actually consider the past, not just physical, but the mental and the emotional, because that shit's going to keep coming up regardless. And that's why they can't stick to the program. It's not because they don't know how to stay consistent. It's because the shit that can't keep them consistent is the fact that all the shit in the past has led them to where they are now. You're not dealing with that person in the now.
Damn, Ruby, just closing it out with a nice little soundbite. That was awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. Is there anywhere you want to point people? Where do you want us to send them?
Everything I think now is under Transform X Ruby. So anything with Transform X Ruby is where you'll find me.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll link to everything. So, and we'll let you know when everything's coming out, all the promos and materials and everything like that. So thanks again for joining me, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
For those of you that don't already know, our website Level is a directory, community, and network of qualified personal trainers. If you're a fitness professional like us that's fed up with the status quo in the industry, or a consumer who is overwhelmed with trying to find a trainer or coach, then head over to levelhealth.net to set up your free membership. Thanks for listening, and if you have a second, we would love it if you gave us a rating and review so that our podcast and the professionals we interview can get more exposure. You can also subscribe so you don't miss any of our new content.